Truth News Network. Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org. Here's Dan Newman.
Not just talk today, but how about a factual conversation between you and I? We're talking about today the accuser in chief. The accuser in chief, who would that be? Democrat Gerald Nadler. He's chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Wednesday of this week, December 4th, Representative Nadler, Democrat of New York, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee, has another committee hearing regarding President Trump's impeachment. Supposedly, this hearing is to question constitutional experts, and I put the word experts in quotation marks, on what is and what is not an impeachable offense based on their opinions, again in quotation marks, the word opinions, regarding impeachment wording in the Constitution. Folks, I just got to confess, I do not understand where the Democrats have come from and where they're trying to go with this faux impeachment process. There's no evidence to impeach any president, yet alone Donald Trump. But oh well, let's get back to the circus. Nadler, as nothing more than a soundbite, offered President Trump the opportunity to participate in these hearings. They just came up with that for this third round. Not interested in letting the president or his attorneys represent him in either the closed-door hearings or even the public hearings. But now, well, they make an offer. It's nothing but a sham. As of this moment, Democrats' witnesses haven't even been named yet. How could anyone prepare for a hearing without even knowing who will participate in that hearing? They tell us they're going to be four experts. But who are they? I have no idea. With this third step of the impeachment inquiry pending, why don't we look back at 1998 when then-Representative Gerald Nadler gave an impassionate and scathing speech on the floor of the House of Representatives, demeaning Republicans for even initiating impeachment proceedings against then-President Bill Clinton. It's almost comical to see the obvious hypocrisy among today's Democrats in Congress and those from 98 regarding their justifications of what was right to do at the time compared to now and what was wrong to do in 1998 compared to today. It's obvious that political expedience is all that mattered then as it does today. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read you Mr. Nadler's congressional speech from 98. We searched diligently in an effort to find an original recording, but could not. This was back before YouTube. His verbatim speech text is available for you to download at the end of today's story. In full disclosure, for the sake of your time and the length of his speech, my verbal rendition has been edited slightly for time only, not for context. We've highlighted some of Mr. Nadler's most salient points, putting those in italics. We'll spend a few minutes in summary after the speech to kind of download and get everybody caught up. We'll all get on the same page at the end of this. So here's the speech of Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, back on December 18th of 1998. He is on that same Judiciary Committee, but is just a member of the committee. And it goes this way. Mr. Speaker, the precedents show and the nation's leading scholars and historians overwhelmingly agree that impeachment is reserved under the Constitution only for abuses of presidential power that undermine the structure of functioning of the government or of constitutional liberty. It is not intended as a punishment for crimes, but as a protection against the president who would abuse his powers to make himself a tyrant. That is why Benjamin Franklin called impeachment a substitute for assassination. We are told that perjury is as serious an offense as bribery, a per se impeachable offense, but bribery goes to the heart of the president's conduct of his constitutional duties. It converts his loyalties and efforts from promoting the welfare of the republic to promoting some other interest. Perjury is a serious crime, and if proven, should be prosecuted in a court of law, but it may or may not involve the president's duties and performance in office. Perjury on a private matter, perjury regarding sex, is not a great and dangerous offense against the nation. It is not an abuse of uniquely presidential power. It does not threaten our form of government. It is not an impeachable offense. The effect of impeachment is to overturn the popular will of the voters. We must not overturn an election and remove a president from office except to defend our system of government or our constitutional liberties against a dire threat and we must not do so without an overwhelming consensus of the American people. There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by another. Such an impeachment will produce divisiveness and bitterness in our politics for years to come and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions. The American people have heard the allegations against the president, President Clinton, and they overwhelmingly oppose impeaching him. They elected President Clinton. They still support him. We have no right to overturn the considered judgment of the American people. Mr. Speaker, the case against the president has not been made. There is far from sufficient evidence to support the allegations, and the allegations, even if proven true, do not rise to the level of impeachable offenses. This is clearly a partisan railroad job. The American people are watching, and they will not forget. I believe that we need to go back to basics. The Constitution and what the impeachment power conferred on the Congress requires of us. Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution says that a president shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. We have received testimony from some of the nation's leading legal scholars and historians who agree that impeachable offenses are those which are abuses of presidential power that undermine the structure or the functioning of government or constitutional liberty. History and the presidents alike show that impeachment is not a punishment for crimes, but a means to protect the constitutional system, and it was certainly not meant to be a means to punish a president for personal wrongdoing not related to his office. Some of our Republican colleagues have made much of the fact that some of the Democrats on this committee in 1974 voted in favor of an article of impeachment relating to President Nixon's alleged perjury on his tax returns. But the plain fact is that a bipartisan vote of that committee, something we have not yet had in this process on any substantive question, rejected that article. That's the historical record, and it was largely based on the belief that an impeachable offense must be an abuse of presidential power, a great and dangerous offense against a nation, not perjury on a private matter. We are told that perjury is as serious an offense as bribery, a per se impeachable offense. But bribery goes to the heart of the president's conduct of his constitutional duties. It converts his loyalties and efforts from promoting the welfare of the republic to promoting some other interest. Perjury is a serious crime, and if provable, should be prosecuted in a court of law, but it may or may not involve the president's duties and performance in office. Perjury on a private matter, perjury regarding sex, is not a great and dangerous offense against the nation. It's not an abuse of uniquely presidential power. It does not threaten our form of government. It is not an impeachable offense. There are clearly some members of the Republican majority who have never accepted the results of the 1992 or 96 elections and who apparently have chosen to ignore the message of last month's election. But in a democracy, it is the people who rule, not political elites, and not members of political elites who were repudiated at the last election. Some members of the House may think the people have chosen badly, but it is the people's choice, and we must respect it, absent a threat to our democracy that would justify overturning that repeated expression of their will at the ballot box. Members of Congress have no right to arrogate to themselves the power to nullify an election, absent that compelling case. The Judiciary Committee also received testimony from some outstanding former prosecutors, including the former Republican governor of Massachusetts, William Weld, who headed up the criminal division of Ronald Reagan's Justice Department, who compellingly explained why all the loose talk about perjury and obstruction of justice would not hold up in a real prosecutor's office, that the evidence we have been given would never support a criminal prosecution in a real court of law. For those who demand that the president prove his innocence, without his accusers having to prove his guilt or even to state clearly the charges, the Judiciary Committee received answers from the president's counsel in which they meticulously pointed out how the charges were not supported and were indeed contradicted by the evidence Mr. Starr's own office had assembled. In fact, Mr. Starr has stated in his referral to Congress that his own Starr witness is not credible, except when her uncorroborated testimony conflicts with the president's, and then it proves his perjury. We have received sanctimonious lectures from the other side about the rule of law. But the law does not permit perjury to be proved by the uncorroborated testimony of one witness. Nor does the law recognize as corroboration the fact that the witness made the same statement to several different people. You may choose to believe that the president was disingenuous, that he was not particularly helpful to Paula Jones' lawyers when they asked him intentionally vague questions, or that he is a bum, but that does not make him guilty of perjury. This House is not a grand jury. To impeach the president would subject the country to the trauma of a trial in the Senate. It would paralyze the government for many months. We cannot simply punt the duty to judge the facts to the Senate if we find mere probable cause that an impeachable offense may have been committed. To do so would be a derogation of our constitutional duty. The proponents of impeachment have provided no direct evidence of impeachable offenses. They rely solely on the findings of an independent counsel who has repeatedly mischaracterized evidence, failed to include exculpatory evidence, and consistently misstated the law. We have been entrusted with this grave and dangerous duty by the American people, by the Constitution, and by history. We must exercise that duty responsibly. At a bare minimum, that means the president's accusers must go beyond hearsay and innuendo, and beyond demands that the president prove his innocence of vague and changing charges. They must provide clear and convincing evidence of specific impeachable conduct. This they have failed to do. Some say that if we do not impeach the president, we treat him as if he's above the law. Is the president above the law? Certainly not. He is subject to the criminal law, to indictment and prosecution when he leaves office, like any other citizen, whether or not he is impeached. And if the Republican leadership allows a vote, he would likely be the third president in U.S. history and the first since 1848 to be censured by Congress. But impeachment is intended as a remedy to protect the nation, not as a punishment for a president. The case is not there. There is far from sufficient evidence to support the allegations, and the allegations, even if proven, do not rise to the level of impeachable offenses. We should not dignify these articles of impeachment by sending them to the Senate. To do so would be an affront to the Constitution and would consign this House to the condemnation of history for generations to come. The American people are watching, and they won't forget. You may have the votes, you may have the muscle, but you lack the legitimacy of a national consensus and the Constitution. This partisan coup d'etat will go down in the history of this nation in infamy. This was the actual speech given by Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, in 1998 on the floor of the House of Representatives. That was his response to the Republicans taking impeachment actions against President Bill Clinton. There are so many sections, so many phrases, so many allegations, so many defenses included in Nadler's speech that are exactly the same thing we're facing today as the Democrats try to unseat Donald Trump as president. We're going to come back in a minute for a summary. And while we're away, just for this short one-minute break, let me get you to think about this for a second. Do you know that Bill Clinton actually had committed felonies that had been already proven in court? There were 4 articles of impeachment filed against him, of which 3 had to do with his breaking the law and committing felony offenses. We'll be back to wrap it up in just a minute, right here at Truth News Network.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Biggie bag, huh?
It's new from Wendy's. It's everything you ever wanted for just $5.
Everything I ever wanted?
Wendy's bacon double stack, 4 nuggets, fries, a drink, and the spelling bee medal you lost in second grade because you couldn't spell soliloquy.
It really is everything I ever wanted.
Get a bacon double stack with a 1/4 pound of fresh beef, nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Wendy's Biggie Bag is everything you ever wanted.
Sorry, I'm going to need all that back.
Really?
Join the Truth News Net army of the informed. Be on the cutting edge when a new story is posted at TNN. Sign up at the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. We never share, we never sell your email. The only thing we're selling is the truth. Join the TNN family today. We're growing from Bangor, Maine to Saigon, from Berlin to Moscow, from Rio Linda to Krakow, Poland, from Sevilla, Spain to McAllen, Texas, and Caribou Landing, Canada, from Salzburg, Zurich, and Milan. on to Shreveport, Louisiana, and all points in between. TNN has been named the single most important source of conservative American political news by the University of Moscow. It's regularly heard in Washington, D.C., and every major capital on every continent. Be part of this mass migration from propaganda to truth. Sign up today.
Thanks for being a part of our worldwide family.
TNN. TruthNewsNet.org. So the left has the squad. There isn't enough beer to hold to watch what happens next. You are the army of truth. TNN. The Truth News Network.
We're in the army now, folks, and we're all in this together. We're talking impeachment today and who is the guilty party. You know, I'm not sure who in House leadership set this whole thing going. If you listen to any of those three, that would be Nancy Pelosi, Gerald Nadler, and Adam Schiff. They point fingers at each other saying he did it or she did it. Well, it really doesn't matter. What matters is on Wednesday, they are about to begin round three of the impeachment inquiry, in which they're going to have four experts, constitutional experts, that tell us exactly why President Trump should be impeached. We just heard from Gerald Nadler a speech that he gave in December of 1998 fighting against the impeachment process that was underway in the House against President Bill Clinton. Almost all of the things he said in way of fighting the impeachment inquiry back then and any House resolution that was passed to go to the Senate, also on a flip side version, applies today to what's going on regarding the impeachment inquiry of Donald Trump. So, let me ask you this. Do Democrats really believe that the majority of Americans have no sense of American history? Do they believe the Americans who lived through the Clinton impeachment do not remember speeches like this one, given by Nadler and others in the House of Representatives? If Democrats believe in Americans and our ability to recognize House actions taken in 98, they would run from their obvious hypocrisy and stop using the same arguments for impeachment of President Trump today that they used against the impeachment of President Clinton way back in 1998. Let's face some facts. There are no facts and evidence that constitutionally justify impeachment. There is no historical precedent to which Democrats can point that supported even the Mueller investigation, yet alone this impeachment circus. Democrats have now three different circus rings in which they have attempted to remove Mr. Trump from office. First was the closed-door hearings in which they looked for potential witnesses for public testimony to expose to the public Mr. Trump's wrongdoing. There was no wrongdoing there. Second, there were the public hearings in which each of their star witnesses bombed when they presented alleged wrongdoing by the president that even if committed would not justify impeachment. And finally, the final stage set for this week. Representative Nadler presents constitutional experts to teach Americans about impeachment. Of course, they'll use their opinions of the constitutional basis for impeaching Donald Trump. That's it. There is nothing else, folks. There's nothing more. Oh, by the way, the House of Representatives has been doing nothing, is doing nothing, and will do nothing regarding the governing of the United States. Pelosi, Schiff, and Nadler owe the American people multiple apologies for holding the nation hostage to their partisan, dishonest, expensive, and now the 3.5-year vacation they have taken at our expense to demean the integrity of 63 million of us, American voters, who elected Donald Trump. And it ain't over. They're just getting started, folks. Oh, by the way, before we say goodbye, on the front page of today's story, all the way down at the bottom, there's a link to Gerald Nadler's entire speech. We edited a little bit of it for time, not context, but just some of the minutiae in his speech. But you can get the whole speech. Download it there at truthnewsnet.org. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us here today. We're on top of this whole thing as it plays out this week and, of course, as it continues through the holidays. So make sure you stay close. We'll be back with the next chapter at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. Till then, have a great one.
Required listening at universities around the world. This is TNN.
trust.